We're here to talk about Over the Top and Robert LaGoya.
No, Logia.
Logia?
I think that's what I thought it was. L-O-G-G-I-A. That's all right. Go ahead. LaGoya.
Okay. Well, we're here to talk. We're here to talk about Over the Top, specifically Mr. Cutler, who's played by Robert LaGoya.
Yes.
I don't think that's how you pronounce his name, but we're going to go with it, Matt.
Well, how do you think you pronounce it?
LaGoya.
I mean, he's really Mr. Cutler.
Yeah, yeah, all right, fuck it all. His name is Mr. Cutler in my world.
Right.
Okay?
Selling over 1 million video cassettes in the U.S. alone, including the number one Warner home video blockbuster, Cobra. Now, Stallone's latest film, Over the Top, comes home this August.
I got 1,000 says I can tear your arm off. You want it?
Why not?
Stallone is Lincoln Hawk, out to be the best arm wrestler in the world. Out to regain the love of the son he left 10 years ago.
All I care about is you. You're my boy.
But there's one man that stands in his way.
You disappointed your wife and your son. You're tearing us apart.
Rocky, Rambo, Cobra. Now, Hawk in the biggest fight of his life. Stallone, a one-man gang in the action-blasting, chart-busting Hall of Fame.
See my boy.
Let no one and nothing stand in his way.
You think you can come in here and destroy my home and take Michael with you? Damn you! Damn you.
To be the best.
Get in here! Come on!
You've gotta go.
This is over. I'm coming again.
Over the Top.
I don't care how you do it. Do it!
Stock up now, because when Sly's back, so are your customers. And Stallone's back in Over the Top.
All right, welcome to another edition of Orphan Radio. This is Matt. I have two special guests tonight, Ricky and Justin. And they're going to introduce themselves and then take it away. And I probably won't talk a whole lot, so go ahead.
Well, hello there. My name is Ricky Levers, and I'm here with my colleague and cohort and hetero life mate, Justin Nofel. And we're here.
Hello.
Thank you, Justin. And I am a former trucker, CDL carrier.
What does CDL stand for the layperson?
Commercial driver's license.
There you go. Okay.
And I have all the endorsements I need to be able to, you know, kick ass, break arms, and arm wrestle. That's what I do. That's what I do best. Justin, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Justin Nofel. I am a Motherfucker of the Year from 2012.
What is that Rick exactly?
Motherfucker of the Year is a MCBB who kicked the most ass. Right now, Ricky Livers is Motherfucker of the Year.
I'm the current 2013 winner, but it's kind of illegal to get into. So,
all right, we won't talk about that.
I also possess a CDL, which is a again a commercial driver's license. I also have a passenger endorsement, so that means I can drive a tour bus as well. So that's a very proud moment.
So you guys drive 18 wheelers?
We're both million mile drivers, Matt.
Is that true?
It's true. Yeah.
True. 80,000 pounds is my MVWR.
What does that mean?
Gross vehicle weight.
Oh.
Yeah. My top GVR weight is actually 76,000 pounds.
Okay.
So I guess Justin has me beat.
But you guys are here to talk about something important today. Something that I'm kind of, I'm a little surprised we don't see in the news more often these days. I know you're going to talk about a couple different movies, but why don't you get into Over the Top first and what you want to discuss about.
Well, okay.
And we might have some callers, too, tonight.
Okay, well, first we're going to talk about Over the Top, which is basically one story of a father and son relationship and things that can go good and the things that can go bad in it. And we're here specifically to talk about Michael Cutler, Lincoln Hawk, and Michael Cutler's grandfather, Mr. Cutler.
Yes.
Is talking to you.
Yes. And just to give you a little background about Over the Top, it's
first, can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
How many times do you think you've seen it?
I have, you know, if I were to give...
The middle school, we started, so that would have been around 91, 92 was middle school.
Okay. No, we saw... I saw Over the Top in the theater in 1987, Matt.
All right. Well, how,
I don't know what I don't know when Justin started watching it, but obviously not in 1987.
Give me like a ballpark figure.
You know, around 600-700 times.
What about you, Justin?
Well, since I have a 4-year, you know, late start, you know, and I, you know, I would say 91, 92. I would say, you know, around 300-400 times.
Seriously?
You know? Yeah.
Okay.
And I own every type of, you know, VHS, DVD, digital,
Laserdisc,
Blu-ray. We actually have the Blu-ray.
You guys even features. Have, like, the hat that he wears and everything, too, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Bonneville. Was it the Bonneville? Or how do you...
Bonnaroo, yeah. I mean, it doesn't come out much, but when I put it on, that's when things get real serious.
Yeah.
If I ever turn around backwards, that's when, you know... Things are even more serious.
13th gear.
So I guess, like, the...
That's exactly... Let's back up there.
Sure, go ahead.
You normally only turn the over-the-top backwards if you're going to hit 13th gear when you're driving an 18-wheeler.
And 13th gear is only necessary if you're going 80-plus. Like, you're in the 12th gear, you can go up to 75 to 80. And putting the 13th gear is just, like... I mean, what is the reason?
Well, many funny people like to make the jokes about turning the volume up to 11. In the trucker's world, it's putting the truck in the 13th gear. Right.
That's an inside trucker joke.
Well, no, it's not a joke. You don't normally need to put it in 13th gear. But you never know when you're up, you know, in New Mexico, flying down the mountains, and you need that extra gear.
It's a point of reference is to an extreme that you usually don't go, but, you know, just like 11. You know, it's the same point. You know,
okay.
Okay, so let's get back to over the top.
Well, let me ask you a question real quick.
God damn it!
Sorry. Do you... I know one of the things, since you're already talking about trucking, one of the things you wanted to talk about was how many rules and laws and regulations that Lincoln Hawk breaks during the move, trucking
DOT violations.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we'll get into that later.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and talk about over the top. Okay. All right. Over the Top is obviously directed and produced by legendary director Menahem Golan. You probably also know him for doing all the Death Wishes, Delta Forces, and most important, produced a little movie called Cobra, starring Sylvester Stallone, which we're not going to get into on today's podcast. That's for next time. We can't get into Cobra. If we start talking Cobra, Matt, you're going to need to stop us.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Yeah. Although I would like to say I'm drinking a Coors Original right now, which Cobra drinks, you know, drank in the supermarket.
Warm tall boys.
Yeah, warm tall boys.
One sip limit.
That's the rule. You got to take one sip and throw it. Yeah. But like I said, we're not talking about Cobra. But anyway, we're going to get into this right now, over the top. Our focus today is going to be on Mr. Cutler. Was he a bad man? Was he a villain like the movie made him out to be? Or was he a responsible grandfather? So I'd like to open the first question, you know, to Justin today that I'd like to ask him is, based on what you know about Mr. Cutler, can you tell me a little bit about what it must have been like to become a father when you're trying to run an empire of businesses? Your daughter gets married, has a kid, and then the wife leaves, or the husband leaves them, and you got a bastard child grandson.
Yeah. You mean
with no
child.
Direction, no father, nobody to teach him.
All you wanted to do was embarrass me. Well, you did it, okay? Grandfather always said you were a loser. Now you're trying to make me one, and I hate you for it.
You know, like, can you try and get me to where what was going through Mr. Cutler's head when Lincoln Hawk ditched his wife, ditched his family, hit the road, and wasn't heard from for 15, 14 years?
Right. You know, and compound that with, you know, Cutler's only daughter had cancer, you know, and like dying in the hospital. And he's still out on the road, nowhere to be found, MIA, arm wrestling people. I mean, obviously, a horrible son-in-law, you know, just terrible, not a good father. And Mr. Cutler had to do what he had to do and put his grandson into the best military school, academy in the whole country. And I think he would do what any other, you know, grandfather would do, the best as his ability, you know.
I think you're right. I think Mr. Cutler was betrayed by Hawk because, you know, his daughter got married.
He
says Hawks. It's actually Hawk, but...
Yeah, what's up with that?
Bull Hurley, Mr. Cutler, and who's the other third person that says... Terry Funk, Hawks.
Yeah.
Why do they, what is up with
they
that?
They put the S on the end. No one else does. Everyone else calls them Hawks.
Do you think it was like a disrespect to
I think there's or? Some like subliminal meaning. I'm not sure.
I mean. Okay, well, here's the deal. You know, Mr. Cutler, a wealthy business entrepreneur.
Yeah, owned his own trucking company.
Owned his own trucking company. Ironically. Well, his daughter went out and got married to
You know what's so sad? He probably wanted to groom Lincoln Hawk to like put him through the ranks of his company. Then what does he do? He just runs out and hits the open road and dishes his whole family and his father-in-law while, you know, Mr. Kelly wanted to groom Lincoln Hawk for his, you know, huge trucking empire.
Well, you know, the thing is that Mr. Hawk betrayed his father-in-law. The thing is that he walked his only daughter. He doesn't have any sons, only one daughter.
Right.
Walks her down the aisle. Mm. We've seen the photos of the wedding in the movie.
Yeah.
And he walks his daughter down, and his future son-in-law says the words, "I do."
You.
Right.
And guess what? He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He ditched his family. He wasn't there. He left his ex-wife to raise a bastard child, Michael Cutler.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, his grandfather's stuck in a real predicament. Like, here I am.
Right.
I have an empire of wealth. I have a lot of responsibility. Thousands of employees. And now I have to devote my 90-hour work week into raising a boy, my grandson, the only blood that I have. And he had to spend all his time doing that. And he spent his whole life getting him in the right schools, getting him in the right places, you know, to be able to succeed. Because somebody's going to have to inherit his fortune and his companies. He's not just going to give it away to somebody else. He had to do what he had to do.
Especially not Hawks.
Yeah, and Hawk left.
Yeah, I mean, a bum dad, obviously. You know, just it's just shocking. It's amazing to me that the movie portrays Hawks as like this hero from the very beginning of the movie. And not only, you know, from years of research and multiple viewings, 600 plus in, you know, Ricky's case, but you really find, you see through like the wool, you know, you see that really Hawks is the enemy, the bad guy, the villain of the movie. And it's really Mr. Cutler who's the one that's like, you know, the good guy. You know,
So you got to ask yourself, what would you do in Mr. Cutler's shoes?
And that's the whole,
you love your daughter unconditionally. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grandson.
Yeah. Even though you might not have liked the fact she was getting married to Lincoln Hawk, you were there. You supported it. You paid for the wedding, you know, and then she leaves him, and you got all that responsibility.
Yeah.
Sorry. He leaves her, and then what do? Are you just going to sit back and let that kid grow up watching fucking cartoons and
what's amazing
jerking
about
off?
The movie, though?
Kid, if I couldn't beat you, I'd kill myself.
This is getting too intense.
So the main part of the story is that after 14 years of neglection, okay, Lincoln Hawk finds out that his ex-wife, who he had a child with, Michael, becomes, she has cancer. And she calls up Lincoln, who's on the road as a trucker, driving all over the country as an owner-operator.
Mm-hmm.
Not, he didn't work for anybody, he was an owner-operator.
A day cab.
Can you tell me what an owner-operator is?
Yeah, owner-operator is basically they own their trailer and their tractor, and they have to pay for their own fuel, and they have to transport. So they get a contract with, you know, say, whatever distributing company. They have to go from, like, point A to point B, and they get paid for the goods that are delivered from point A to point B. But they have to pay for all the fuel, all that shit, like, in between.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's out as an owner-operator, cruising all over the country, finds out his wife has cancer and is going to die, and then he decides it's time to get back into his son's life. Now, how many times do you think that maybe he thought about calling his son,
He did write him a lot of letters.
He wrote him a lot of letters, but how many times, Matt, do you think he was driving up and down the 5 and could have easily pulled over at the military academy that Michael Cutler was going to and just said hi? But he didn't do it. He thought he could get away with just writing letters, like today's terminology, if you were to, like, you know, add in, you know, what would it be like today? It'd be like just sending your son an email.
What's so upsetting is Michael colors that scene in the movie. He's like, you know, Dad, like, how come you left us? And all Hawk would say is, I had my reasons.
What are you doing with that guy?
He's my father.
Too bad.
Yeah, no explanation.
You
had my reasons.
That is like a horseshit answer.
It's a horseshit answer. God. You know, so his dad leaves him. His grandpa knows that he needs to get him well disciplined on a higher, faster pace than most kids, because he's got a lot to inherit and a lot to run and a lot to learn. You know, he's got a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, he's a fast track to ownership of the company.
With a lot of power comes great responsibility.
He's an annoying little
So he's doing everything he can, getting him in the right spots, getting him around the right people to rub elbows with, getting some discipline, putting him on a path to go either go to West Point or an Ivy League school, pumping all his money into that, and then what happens? His graduation comes up. And he's supposed to get in. I mean, his grandfather, Mr. Cutler, couldn't make it because he's a very, very busy man. So the least he could do was send out a limo to come pick him up, which he did.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And all of a sudden, Lincoln Hawk pulls up in a semi-tractor trailer.
Looking like a...
Yeah, he didn't dress up. I mean,
he's brushing his teeth. He washed up at that truck stop.
I didn't see him put on any deodorant.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like,
use that water from that bucket from the.
He was using recycled water to clean his face.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, I'm obsessed with how he had a day cab. So, whenever he falls asleep, you know, you're supposed to go to Cedarbrook.
Time out. Justin, can you explain the difference between a day cab and a sleeper berth?
A day cab is a truck you may see, like a FedEx or UPS driver using around the city. That does not come equipped with a proper sleeper berth, which is a whole other section of the tractor that you can go back and have a little nap. And
there's a bed back there.
Yeah, big bed, yeah. Kitchen sink, record player, all kinds of things, like a disco ball, you know.
Great Brandon Legler had his truck pimped out.
Yeah, for sure. A day cab, I mean, when they went to bed that night, I felt so bad for Michael Cutler. He just sat there like this. And
okay, well, we're not there quite yet. That's a DOT violation, and like I said, we get into that later. Okay? So, Cutler thinks his grandson's coming home with his limo to take him to the airport and get him home, starting a summer's worth of activities, you know. And what happens? Lincoln Hawk pulls up into the tractor trailer and, you know, tells him, you're coming with me? Mm-hmm. You're coming with me across the country on a road trip against your grandfather and pretty much father's wishes. You know, Lincoln Hawk was no dad. You know, the first thing Michael said when he saw him was, sir, I don't have a dad.
Right.
You know, and he didn't. That. He was speaking the truth. Yeah. That's what he's trained for at military academy. Mm-hmm. Always tell the truth.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, the adventure begins. I know that all you hundreds of thousands of listeners out there are aware that, you know, that have seen the movie and knows, you know, what happens, you know, when they hit the road. But that's where we get up to talk about now about all the DOT violations that Lincoln Hawk had.
Where do we even start?
Yeah, where do we even start? So let's just talk about what it is to be on the road.
Yeah.
First of all, every morning you got to fill out logbooks, okay?
Pre-trip inspection.
Pre-trip inspection, which is what, Jay?
You completely analyze and make sure that your tractor trailer is safe and ready to go for all types of road conditions. For your 11-hour on-driving duty section.
Yeah, okay, so you're on the road, and you got to fill out forms, you got to go through weigh stations, you got to be okay in case you get pulled over, and we didn't see Lincoln filling out trip reports.
Not one weigh station.
No weigh stations.
I thought he pulled into one where he filled something out. No, that's when he was picking up the brute trailer, right?
Yeah, the guy, he just all did detach him, that's all he did.
Yeah, just a quick detach. Easy.
Yeah, which they don't provide that service anymore. That's a complete, kind of a cool vintage part of the movie, like where that kind of died out, you know, in the 80s.
Doesn't happen anymore?
No. Okay. There's no guy that comes out and detaches you anyway.
So he's cruising up and down, and what does he do? He brings his son into a truck stop, hustles the guy for money.
Right.
You know, just keeps driving and won't really answer any of Michael's questions. I mean, I don't see any father-son relationship blooming at that point.
Lincoln tried to order this disgusting, gross hamburger or whatever. If, you know, Cutler, again, with class act, shows up and what's he get? Like a tuna.
On whole wheat toast.
And with the spring water with the lemon, right? Something like that. Like, I mean, again and again, we see examples where he's a terrible driver. He's a terrible father. He's just a piece of shit. I mean, I don't know. I mean, think about it. Like, the only day we can see him do that this far, you know, thus far is...
Yeah, is, at the halfway point of the movie, you're thinking to yourself, what in the fuck is this guy doing? You know, if he's trying to have a renaissance phase with his son by taking him across the country,
right.
Why is he taking him into truck stops and introducing him to people like Smasher,
right.
Bull Hurley?
Yeah.
You know, exposing himself to all those truckers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I as a trucker, I would not bring my son.
Never.
You know, and expose him to all the lot lizards. And, you know, Justin, can you explain to us what a lot lizard is?
A lot lizard is a woman that would walk around trying to bang truckers in the lot of a Pilot, Loves, Flying J, TNA. I've never... Well,
no, there's no lot lizards to Blue Beacons, so don't talk shit on Blue Beacons.
Why? Are they
I fucking love Blue Beacons, man.
I'm asking. Are they like the high standard?
It's a truck wash, and it's a really, you know, fine facility out of Salina, Kansas.
Oh, okay.
That's the very first Blue Beacon ever in the whole world was in Salina, Kansas. Now they're franchised all over the world.
Yeah, it's a multi-million dollar...
Yeah, I mean, if I owned a Blue Beacon, I definitely wouldn't be here doing this interview right now.
But so a lot lizard will come in, you know, they'll bang you and everything. They'll come in your tractor and bang you. Usually they have like, you know, 3 or 4 teeth in their mouth.
On a good night, it's said in trucker lore that a lot lizard never touches the ground. So,
it's true,
it's true.
Back to the tractor. These go from tractor to tractor. Yeah.
So anyway, you know, they're there and, you know, Lincoln's trying to get them to eat nasty food. Mm-hmm. You know, Michael's...
He's a terrible role model.
What, Michael's trying to order tuna fish on whole wheat toast.
I saw a lot lizard one at the Avis rental car place. That was kind of crazy. Anyways. We'll
That's another story, Jay.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, so anyway, what we're getting at is Mr. Cutler a bad man? So, in review, you're a man with a business enterprise... Your only grandson loses his father and now is losing his mother.
Right.
You're going to be the one to raise him. He's going to be the one to inherit everything. You've got responsibilities and real-life problems and real-life situations. You're doing the best you can, and then all of a sudden, the deadbeat dad comes out of the woodwork 14 years later and takes his son away, and you got to believe that Mr. Cutler was pissed.
Mike? I don't care what your grandfather thinks about me, okay? All I care about is you. Now, you lost back there because you beat yourself. You let yourself get beat. I know you can do it. You're a special kid. You're my boy. Do you understand?
Oh, for sure.
So there is a complicated situation here where he sends out some of his goons, which, by the way, he never admitted to sending them out.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, because they're at a truck stop. Michael... is it almost gets kidnapped. Attempted kidnapping.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how you do it. Do it.
But Lincoln Hawk saved the day. His dad did.
Yep.
Not by doing much. All he did is ram his truck into a car.
Yeah, the pickup truck.
Did he have insurance? Yeah. We don't know. He obviously didn't fix his truck. He kept the dents in it.
Yep.
So he's out there pulling all that shit. And all Mr. Cutler wants is his grandson to get back home.
Right.
He probably had a summer job, an internship lined up for him in one of his businesses, you know. And there he is with his deadbeat dad, you know. And Hawk is continuously lying to him on the road trip. Like he said, how come you never stopped by? How come you never visited? You know, how come you never did this, never did that, you know. And... finally, Lincoln was like, well, I wrote you the letters. a fucking letter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how mad right. would you be if you hadn't seen your dad in 14 years? He said, well, I sent you a letter.
Yeah.
We all know Lincoln was cruising up and down, all over the 5, mm-hmm. all over the 10, in and out of the California area, and could have easily mm-hmm. pulled over at the right. military academy and said, hey, you know, how you doing? Did you get my letters?
Yeah, obviously, you know, Hawks did a lot of horrible things, you know, but this is where I think in the mid part of the movie that things get really, really complicated, and the tie turns over into Hawks being the good guy and Cutler being the villain.
Yeah, I mean, they try to make Lincoln look like the good guy and Cutler the bad guy. What would you do? That's a question you got to ask yourself. What would you mm-hmm. do? Because there's a lot of... We're going to get into some really serious things later for all the fans out there. But at this point right now, I want to kind of give an overview of what we're talking about tonight. And that's about villains that were unfairly marked as villains that really aren't villains. Mm-hmm. We're really the good guys are the villains. So with that, we're going to change the subject, and in the end, we're going to intertwine the two mm-hmm. to show you the similarities and the complexities of both of these movies.
They hunted him down.
You know, Colonel, we went to a lot of trouble to find you.
They murdered his friends. And they took the only thing he would kill for.
If he wants your kid back, then you gotta cooperate. Right?
Wrong.
Okay, now we're talking about one of the most infamous, famous actors, legendary on the silver screen, Mr. Vernon Wells.
That's his real name? Sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know what you're doing there.
When Matrix finishes the job, he'll be back for his daughter. Now, whether she's alive or dead, doesn't matter. Then he'll be after you.
But anyway, Vernon Wells is by far my favorite actor. And you might have seen him as in Road Warrior,
yep.
Mad Max 2. And then we have him here in Commando.
Mm-hmm.
Was Bennett a bad guy as he was portrayed in the film?
Well, how do you define a bad guy? Someone who kills a lot of people, mass murderers, what have you. I mean, Bennett was not a bad guy. He didn't kill one person in the movie Commando.
Okay, so let me give you a quick breakdown. Bennett has all of his men in his unit getting killed off. Just like Matrix. Matrix was in Bennett's unit. And next thing you know, there's down to two guys left. Bennett and Matrix. Well, you know, Bennett has to make a decision. Does he go with the flow? Or does he get killed?
And he did the most ingenious thing ever. He kills himself. But not really.
Well, that makes no sense. But what we're going to talk about today is, was Bennett a bad guy? Bennett was scared. He knew all his men in his unit were getting killed. Arias got to him first and said, look, you're going to go. My plan, which I admit is the stupidest plan I've ever heard in my life. He wanted John Matrix to go down to Valverde and kill the president, you know, and like, because he was friends with him, because he helped out during the revolution. Okay, so his plan was...
Can I interrupt you for 1 second?
Yeah.
How many times do you think you've seen this movie, Commando?
Oh, man. Oh, God. Even I, like, as much as I want to say, like...
Didn't Deuce take you to...
as much as I want to say, like...
Grand opening in 85?
Yes, I saw it in the theater in 85. What do you have coming out in 1985, okay? First and foremost, Motley Crue's Theater of Pain. Okay? Then you got Commando. Mm-hmm. What happens in the fall? Royals win the fucking World Series.
The Kansas City Royals are the 1985... World champions will go to their locker room when we come back.
So, in my life, 85 kind of shaped the way I feel about a lot of things. And then what happened in 1985? Rambo fucking 2. But we won't go into that, just like we won't go into Cobra tonight, okay? All right, so it's been in a bad guy. Yeah. Well, you know, he's scared for his life. Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay. All his buddies are dead from his unit. And Arias gives him a proposition. You know, I'm going to kill you too, or are you going to help me get Matrix to kill the president of El Verde? So what does Arias do? He offers Bennett $100,000. Does he take it?
No. He'd do it for nothing.
Well, he said he'd do it for nothing, but was he playing a game or was he trying to save his life?
I honestly think, you know, as sadistic and crazy as Bennett is, even though he didn't kill anybody, he really genuinely wanted to do it for nothing because he's so out of his mind, you know?
Well, you didn't know if he was scared.
Well, he had a vengeance on his mind because, you know, what did he do to get thrown out of the unit? What did he do?
Like, insubordination.
And excessive violence. Like, he would go off and, like, do crazy things, which I don't know how that ever be because he didn't kill one person in the movie.
Folks, if you've ever read the screenplay, for all the thousands of listeners that have, you know, you can ignore this segment here, but if you've ever read the screenplay, Bennett was kicked out of Matrix's unit for insubordination because he accidentally killed some children. You know, and whether it was an accident or not, we did not get fair coverage of the trial.
Right.
So we don't know what happened. Yeah. You know, there's friendly fire all the time.
Right.
You know, and so it was never really explained why.
And not only that, like, you have to understand, for him to turn down the $100,000 is paramount because he got thrown out of the unit, which means dishonorable discharge, you know, in the military. And that means zero pension, zero retirement plan. So Bennett obviously needed that money. So for him to turn that down and to go after Matrix's daughter and the whole 9 yards, it just shows his intensity, his enthusiasm to go for the whole entire, you know, revenge factor. Wouldn't you say, Rick?
Well, yeah, but one thing you got to understand is that $100,000 in today's, if you adjust for inflation, you're talking close to $450,000. Okay, so if somebody
half a mil, you know.
Yeah, half a mil.
Yeah.
You know, so when Matrix asked him, "What are you doing for this?" and he told them they offered me $100,000,
right?
But I told him I'd do it for free. Was he doing that so he would not be implicated? I mean, if he wanted to kill Matrix and wanted to kill Jenny and wanted to kill the president of El Verde, why would he not accept the $100,000?
Exactly.
Because he was in a situation where he did not want to get killed. And he did whatever he had to do, and he did not want to be implicated. He did not want to take any money. So that's a real misconception by a lot of people in Commando that Bennett just wanted to kill for no reason. Mm-hmm. You know, Bennett just wanted to kill people. He didn't care about $100,000. But yet, how many people did Bennett kill in Commando?
Zero. Right. Zero.
Not one person. How many people did Matrix kill?
Well, why don't you get into that? You talked about Lincoln Hawk being a terrible father. Do you want to talk about Schwarzenegger, John Matrix, and Commando? And
being a terrible father as well to his daughter.
Yeah.
Now,
break it down.
Well, what kind of father, first of all, would have a completely outlawed and illegal automatic weapons laying all over his house?
You know, trying to lead a normal life. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm trying to lead a normal life, my aunt.
Yeah, he told that to his general. You know,
nothing normal about it. What kind of government subsidies was Matrix getting to not have to work anymore? I mean, he was young.
Right.
You know, he wasn't retired. Yet he had a big house, a nice yard, you know, lots of tools, fishing poles. You know, you get into everything that he had. But the only thing that I question is that it didn't look to me like he had central air conditioning in his house.
No, he completely isolated Jenny, which I didn't like that, too. Like, you know, a lot of girls her age want to, like be with, you know, their other friends and do fun things and dress up and, you know, watch, you know, Lord of the Rings and whatever they want to do. I know that, you know, so it's like he completely isolated her, you know, and I don't know, we don't know what happened to the mom and all these things are just, you know, I just feel like he completely was a really bad father. He tried to do the best as he could, but he just didn't really come through. It's a way.
The mother's not ever brought up, ever, is she?
Right. Yeah. Same thing. Then he forced her to cook all the time. Those Jenny sandwiches, like, like you would think he would, you know, as a good father, hey, show her the recipes and all these things and cook, and but he didn't at all. He just slave drived her, you know, all the time and isolated her, made her pet deers and threw ice cream cones everywhere.
Right in her face.
Yeah.
You know, and then Bennett, you know, was from Australia. You know, he didn't have Social Security set up. He didn't have a 401k going. You know, Bennett didn't even carry a wallet because his leather pants were too tight to fit one in.
Exactly.
So for him to just deny $100,000.
Yeah. It just shows you, like, his tenacity. He had a real motivation to kill, or not kill, but to torture Matrix. And,
well, you know, Justin, out of the thousands and thousands of listeners tonight, you know, that are also in our military services, which we thank you.
Yeah.
Bennett, you know, probably had no Army retirement or veteran benefits. Because
exactly.
Because Matrix kicked him out of his unit
because
he accidentally had some friendly fire.
Right. I don't blame Bennett one bit at all. You know?
Yeah, you know, so it's just like, that goes to show you, he could have used that $100,000.
Yeah, was his
worth
a half a
million now.
But he did
not want to be implicated in what was going on because he knew it was wrong.
Right.
You know, one thing to tie it back together is that it's interesting that Bennett and Lincoln Hawk both turned down hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm.
From Mr. Cutler's deal, the half a million in a rig.
Yeah, Mr. Cutler offered Lincoln the finest rig in the industry.
Right.
I would have died to have drive that rig, Justin.
That was
what about
a beautiful top line. Like, it was that rig alone is probably worth, like, I guess.
I mean, it was a Peterbilt, American-made cruiser cab.
That's a $100,000 rig back in, you know, the 80s. So let's talk further about what a horrible father Matrix is. Like, so after Jenny gets kidnapped and taken away, he basically, you know, he comes in and he kills, not only kills, but slaughters, mass murders 88 pissant soldiers. Matrix kills 86 pissant soldiers. And not only does he do that, he goes and throws a steam pipe through Bennett's chest, through his chest, in front of his, you know,
daughter. In front of his daughter.
Yeah.
Little some steam, Bennett.
He laughs and makes an offbeat joke and goes, "Let off some steam, Bennett." He's just an awful father, you know. Like,
well, I want to correct you on one thing, and that's that Colonel John Matrix actually killed 105 people in the movie, not 85.
Wow.
But,
is that true?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So, the fact of the matter is that her dad is a murderer, a serial killer. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was a trial lawyer, that's how I'd run the case. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, my client, Wes Bennett, didn't kill anybody, didn't hurt anybody, was forced to shoot John with a tranquilizer dart.
Yeah.
I wanted to use the real thing! And, you know, and he just kept going with the flow. But did he ever break into a pawn shop and steal bazookas, rocket launchers?
He's involved with a manslaughter in the mall. Like, he's a guy, like, you know, Sully's... He killed Sully. He let him go off the cliff.
Yeah. Okay. Numerous, so let's just back up to the murders of John Matrix.
Yeah.
Now, when he was in the mall, there was mass murder committed in the mall.
Yeah.
Mass murder.
Sure,
couldn't
the
Matrix? Well, couldn't he waited outside in the parking garage for Sully to come out?
Yeah. If he was such a great and amazing colonel, you know, he would have so much training.
I mean,
he would not do the moves that he, yeah. So,
he hid inside of Cindy's car, but yet he didn't want to hide in Sully's car.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, come on. Right. You had him right there. Yeah. No chase required. No dead people in the mall.
I just love how that, the drug deal or whatever, like the deal is going on between that guy and Sully. Like, he comes out and just, for no reason at all, he throws his brief and he comes out and starts shooting people. He could have easily just sat in that bar and had a cocktail and kept his, like, you know, how much money he had in his briefcase. There's absolutely no reason for all, for him at all to come and expose
come out
himself.
And do that. But yet, he was buying illegal passports.
Yeah, cops got killed. Those cops had families, you know?
I mean, and let's just talk about going through the airport. I mean, they pull up
these jokes about killing people. It's appalling.
So they pull up to LAX, right? They get out.
Which you can never do now, but
yeah, you can't. You can't do that. But Bennett's wearing a chainmail vest, and he walks right into the airport, and people don't think it's weird.
No,
you know.
Well, the '80s are completely different.
Well, you know, I understand that, but you know, the next thing you know, you got you know, Enrique wearing a white suit with a stupid ass hat and a Hawaiian shirt,
right?
And he's supposed to fly with Matrix and get this neck snapped. Now, who murders somebody like that?
And why
that?
Would you give Matrix the aisle seat? That's so dumb.
Yeah.
He's like, why? I mean, the guy's in the fucking window. Like if you have like an undercover prisoner, give the guy the fucking window. Yeah. And you have the aisle seat. That's so retarded. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm talking that is a good point.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's,
once you think you're above the law,
right,
you got to go down. You know?
So, what I think the genius of Over the Top and Commando, they portray the most sadistic, horrible people, a bum father, a mass killer, to be the heroes of the movie. You know? Like, a guy who makes jokes about killing people, a guy who just ditches his son, and all he can say is, I had my reasons. Like, these movies are masterpieces because they can portray these awful bum dads and mass killers into heroes.
You're exactly right. I mean, Mr. Cutler wanted the best for his grandson. He wanted him to go to a good school. He wanted him to go to a military academy, get good respect and good discipline, and be prepared to take over for his vast empire. You know, he wanted the best.
Right.
He didn't need some deadbeat dad showing up.
Bennett was this poor guy. He put his heart and soul into his special unit forces that never got any credit for all the lives he saved in America. Even though he's Australian, he saved all these Americans' lives, you know. And what happens, he made the wrong move, maybe a friendly fire accident. Major storms them out. He's banished, outcast, and he has zero support. Zero
financial,
pension,
yeah, no financial support.
Yeah, and yeah, he got this deal, you know, to kill a president and kidnap somebody. He didn't accept any money for it. He's not even a mercenary. He's just a guy just like so mad at Bennett. But he wasn't even mad because if he was really angry, he would have shot him right there, but he used a tranquilizer gun. He didn't kill one person. He's a harmless little guy, you know. Like
he knew that Matrix was going to come through, come out the the island, wipe out everybody, and it was just going to be left to him. But he knew that he had to be killed by Matrix. Bennett was gay. He loved Matrix. And if you think I'm just telling you this, go get the Commando Definitive Edition DVD, watch the bonus features of Bennett vs. Matrix, and you'll see Cindy explain the homosexuality in the film in great detail. I am not making this up. It's there. So he loved Matrix. And that's something you got to consider when you think about him being around your daughter. Him wearing chainmail. God bless his leather pants.
His mustache.
His mustache was great. You know? I'd like to point out right now that Justin has a Bennett mustache. Can you acknowledge that, Jay?
Affirmative.
So, I mean, there's a whole nother situation and complexity to Commando there. But we're not gonna get into that tonight.
Right.
Tonight we're focusing on Bennett and Mr. Collar.
So Ricky, if you had to wrap the two of those guys up into a couple sentences, how would you do it? And the themes of the movie and
Bennett and Collar are heroes. They just wanted to do what was right. They knew the difference between right and wrong. They didn't kill. They obeyed the law. They hired attorneys when they needed to. Okay? They didn't kill people for no reason. They didn't chop people's heads off with saw blades. They didn't stab people with pitchforks. They didn't do any of that stuff. I mean, Mr. Cutler was at home drinking a scotch.
M-City.
And in M-City, we call him. Mr. Cutler is talking to you. Abbreviate the initials, and it's an M-City.
It's always an expensive scotch.
Yeah, and it always is. Well, you know, Justin, does an M-City come neat or on the rocks?
He was drinking his on the rocks, man. I remember.
Do you think it was a blended scotch?
Nah, single malt.
You know, Lincoln Hawk had a son that was the exact same age as Matrix's daughter, Jenny. The same age.
Yeah.
They had the same responsibility for the same aged child. But what we don't think about is, you know, what do the kids think? You know, they're young. They have parents that are out of control. You know, like, Jenny saw her father put a steam pipe through another man.
Right.
You know, Michael Cutler saw his father hustle a man in Gallup, and New Mexico.
Drive a tractor through.
So here's a big deal. Okay, let's just get to the big debate.
Huh.
When Lincoln Hawk first faced Smasher, I believe it was in Needles, California at the Flying J.
Yeah,
Justin.
That's debatable. Barstow or Needles is hard to tell, but
okay. Let's just get it out.
Yeah,
I think Needles. Jay thinks Barstow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but God bless. I've driven to every truck stop in the whole state of fucking California, looking for that truck stop, and I have not found it. I mean, I'm talking. I pulled over and I've asked people.
All I've been hearing on the road lately is this Hawk is a man to beat.
Can't believe everything you hear.
I don't believe anything. I got 1,000 since I could tear your arm off.
All right, I'd just like to say it's been a good session one of Commando Over the Top Talk. We look forward to session number two, which should be coming out here in the next few days. We just got to get together and get it done. Really happy that I could be here, and if you guys want to reach me for any reason, for any commando questions, I can be reached at RAL3RD@me.com, and if you don't like what I've been saying, please feel free to reach me too.
It's been a great pleasure. This is Nofel here to finally display years of years and years of research, scholarship, just our just pure love and enthusiasm for all things considered with, you know, Over the Top, Commando. I just, this is like one of my obsessions that will never go away.
I'd like to pick up on that, Justin, and let you know that I, too, have been researching Commando and Over the Top for all my life, and that it really means a lot to me, and I know more than I should about both those movies, and it's been a real honor to be here with my best friend and hetero life mate, Justin, to be able to discuss this with you.
Yeah, I'm very honored and thankful for this time we had spent together and to really explain our viewpoint of Commando and of Over the Top. Is a very special viewpoint that we've been dissecting through considerable amounts of litigation and, you know, arguments and
arm wrestling championships,
and thousands of miles of discussions. And I think we kind of displayed all here.
We would have liked to better incorporate how Motley Crue and Predator and Pretty Boy Floyd work into the whole over-the-top commando theme, but that's for a later episode.